This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today, during the first hour, Ask the Expert. This is really becoming a popular show. We're getting huge amounts of questions for Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. Later in the show, Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation with a Life Extension update. We're going to cover a variety of different topics moving quickly. Lots of exciting stuff that we'll be discussing with Dr. Smith. I want to welcome Rob Regish back to the show. How are you doing, Rob?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back, Carl.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I just want to comment about two things. First of all, AgeForce has introduced their new pregnenolone DHEA patch, actually DHEA and pregnenolone patch. I believe DHEA is the lead ingredient in it. For those of you who are taking DHEA and pregnenolone or have been thinking about taking DHEA and pregnenolone, this is a great product. You put the patch on in the morning. It delivers everything over 12 hours right into the bloodstream. So no need to take one of your DHEA tablets in the morning and then one in the afternoon and so on and so forth. It has the precise ratio of DHEA and pregnenolone that you need to increase performance, to increase the anti-aging effects of these two wonderful hormones that seem to disappear as we age. So check that out. They have a special offer for my audience only, a buy one, get one free, I believe. Or is it a free trial offer? I stand to be corrected in a minute. I will check. Also, I want to mention something. It's a two-for-one offer. Okay, thank you. I want to mention something. Derek Martin, a fan of the show, posted a link on my Facebook about a huge study that shows red meat boosts the risk of dying young. We have seen these studies before. I do not doubt that red meat is dangerous, but I'm talking about the red meat that most people unwittingly purchase at their grocery store. This is red meat from animals that have been fed artificial adulterated diets that are ill. These are sick animals. They have to be given subclinical doses of pharmaceutical drugs throughout their entire life just to keep them alive long enough so that they can be slaughtered. In fact, California is trying to pass a law that if an animal cannot walk into the slaughterhouse on its own, it should not be slaughtered. Duh. Think about that. If a law has to be passed, imagine the number of animals that have to be dragged into the slaughterhouse because they're too weak to walk. And then they show up at your favorite Kroger, Alpha, Beta, AMP, and so on, and you buy this stuff unwittingly, thinking that this is a healthy piece of meat. Of course it isn't. Even in the movie, Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where the predator saw a guy who was sick and knew not to eat him. I mean, this is intuitive and instinctive in animals, but it's not in humans. We are not supposed to eat sick animals. Well, we get sick. So I don't doubt that the study showed that eating red meat is bad for you, but I would challenge the authors of this research to compare the red meat from grass-fed, hormone-free, antibiotic-free cows that live a natural life to the meat that they chose. And I guarantee you, I will bet a year's worth of salary, and believe me, folks, that's not a small amount. I will bet a year's salary that the results would be different because grass-fed cows produce anti-inflammatory effects in their meat. So don't be afraid of red meat. Just be afraid of the red meat that you find at your grocery store. And you know what's funny, Rob?
Go ahead.
I said, what's next? Will Hillshire Farms start collecting roadkill to put in their sausages and meats? What's the next step? If the animals have to be dragged into the slaughterhouse, what's next? Just wait for cars to hit them and pick them up and grind it up and put it in sausage?
You know, with the FDA, it's anything but the truth.
Oh, man, it's scary. It's scary.
Different topic for a different show, but yeah. It's unfortunate because the general public really is being disserved by a federal agency.
Yeah, hoodwinked, hoodwinked. I like to say that. That's what Malcolm X said. We've been hoodwinked. Plymouth Rock, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. We didn't land. The FDA is landing on us daily. It's a terrible situation. But anyway, okay, let's get back to the subject at hand. After the last show that we did, Ask the Expert, you were just bombarded with questions, weren't you?
I did. I got a ton on my Facebook page, texts, emails, private messages. They're just rolling in from everywhere. And it's a nice mix of, you know, training, diet, and supplement-related questions.
And on the supplement side, a lot of people were astonished at your acknowledgement that ephedra is okay.
Yeah, and you know what? I stand by that. Why? Because the medical studies support it. And 20 years, I've been using it for 20 years. You've heard Wade say he's using it for 20 years. And, you know, no, nobody's dead here. Nobody's suffering any ill effects. The only side effects I've experienced are greater energy, less body fat, and more strength. Oh, my HDL levels improve.
There you
go.
There you go. So what other questions have you been hit with that we need to address on today's show?
Well, we got. I'll start off with a question from Amir Rozek. He actually asked a couple. He was curious to know about the benefits of incorporating the over squat and also old school training. So
wait. You blinked out. Did you say the old school squat?
Old school training.
Okay, old school training. Okay.
I'll take the overhead squat first, though.
Okay.
The overhead squat is a movement, Carl, that requires, as you probably know, an incredible amount of balance, coordination, and conditioning. It's also one of the few lifts, now that I think of it, that combines both a static component, where you're holding the bar above your head, and the dynamic full-range component. So you're squatting down with that. So that being said, the benefits of this lift are as follows. First, it really does open up your hips. It goes a long way towards opening up the hips and stretching out the fascia. It strengthens you through a large range of motion. It's a full-body stimulus. It's a hell of a hard workout because you're moving the body and the weight through space. It'll work your core while stabilizing the lumbar and shoulder region. And it's a great progression for learning the snatch if you're into the Olympic lifts. The only problem I've encountered with this lift is this. The loading is limited, as you can imagine, right?
Yeah, because your shoulder girdle and your shoulders, and also the angle. I mean, there's a very, very narrow place, a groove, where this weight will be okay, and if you get too far to the front or too far to the back, and God forbid you get too far to the back, because at least to the front you can drop the weight.
Right. So, you know, having said that, I see two applications for the overhead squat in your training. One is as a warm-up. It's actually a fantastic warm-up, and if you doubt that, well, you know, check your heart rate after a set or two with just the bar. And don't be surprised if it feels real awkward at first and you have some difficulty. But it is a fantastic whole-body warm-up. The other place I like to use it is this. You've heard me speak before about lactic acid tolerance training in an effort to upregulate the enzyme glycogen synthase so you can load in more carbohydrates. Well, that's done in a giant exercise loop, push and pull movements back to back to back. And oftentimes the reality is gyms are crowded, equipment is taken, and you run into problems. Well, if that happens the next time you show up, the overhead squat is your solution because done in a fashion where you're doing, let's say, five sets of 15 to 20 reps with a minute rest in between sets, boy, you want to talk about getting your heart rate up there and working full body musculature, that's it. So it's a solution to a crowded gym on those days where you're looking to get in there and rifle through a workout where you can just walk away with a ton of lactate and resulting growth hormone release and then load in your carbohydrates. It'll go straight into the muscle. With respect to the old school training, my opinion, you know, old school should be the new school. Old school to me speaks to big basic movements, hard work, and abbreviated routines. And, you know, for that further direction, you can look at things like the book Brawn by Stuart McRobert. There's a whole series on that. Old school training really should be, I think, the first stop for a lot of guys versus, a last-ditch effort when the rest of their
training. But you know what? I think a lot of people get confused. You know, what do you think of as, give me a comparison of old school versus new school. I mean, isn't it all old school when you come down to grunting and lifting?
Well, yes and no. You know, a lot of times today what you see in gyms is, you know, what you'll hear is, okay, my routine today is I'm going to do four sets of bench, I'm going to do four sets of incline, then four sets of decline, and I'm going to finish chest off with two or three sets of cable crossovers. The old school approach was a little different insofar as it kind of took away all of the fluff and puff that you see. It didn't, in other words, there were no real isolation movements. you did some big, heavy barbell work first, like a set of squats and a set of pullovers, and then you may have had, you know, a set of heavy weighted dips to finish off for your triceps. Those are three big compound lifts that are, you know, demanding a large amount of musculature, move the weight through space and your body simultaneously in most instances, and as such, they're extremely efficient. And what guys will find is when they cut their volume down and they pare away all of that fluff and puff, pour themselves into the big basic exercises, that old school training works wonders for a lot of people. I know it did for me.
Yeah, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick it up here a little bit more about old school training. And then we've got a lot of different questions. Give me a snapshot of some of the questions we'll be answering today so we can keep people glued to their seats today.
Well, we've got questions here about how to reduce post-workout inflammation, the best way to warm up so that you don't hurt your knees on squats, creatine on a low-carb diet.
Yeah, that's a good question. I want to talk about that, too, because there's a lot of old wives' tales about creatine and low-carbing, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
All right, so let's do that. And then also I want to thank Derek Martin for posting on my Facebook wall, if I didn't mention his name before, about this recent baloney Boulder Dash study on red meat. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium-Mayini, and Resveratrol keep keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. There's a really, really cool picture that was posted by Johan Otterstrom on my wall today of a fat-free shortening margarine and real butter, unpasteurized butter, placed into a small plate. And ants were allowed to choose what they wanted to eat, and the ants are all over the butter, and none of them eating the margarine or the no-fat, low-fat shortening. Interesting stuff.
That says it all.
Yeah, so now, from now on, I said on Facebook, I said, stop killing ants on your countertop and start following them to the food they want to eat, because you should be eating that food and then throw everything else away. Anyway, okay, getting back to old school versus new school. So clearly what we're talking about when we talk about old school is the stuff that no one really wants to do, which is the heavy, hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work on big, basic movements, but boy, you know, I would rather invest my time in that and get results than just go in there and spin my wheels doing the small stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so where do we go from there? What other questions did you get? Do you want to talk about the creatine low-carb myth? Because I remember back in the day hearing stories from the professional bodybuilding arena that if you were going to low-carb and get cut, let's say pre-contest type cut, 20 weeks out, 16 weeks out, you had to eliminate the creatine because creatine causes a shift in substrate utilization that actually will allow you to save more fat by making it go after glucose more frequently. What do you think about that?
You know, I'm not buying that one. Ken Taylor actually asked this question about how he could incorporate creatine if he's only carbing 3 days a week around his workouts. You know, the history on this is pretty clear. In 1996, it was shown that creatine uptake was vastly improved when some glucose was taken along with it. So, in other words, insulin, the resulting insulin release, helped store more creatine. Well, the question now becomes what to do on a low-carb diet. There are other nutrients and nutraceuticals that are insulin mimetics, if you will, or function in the absence of insulin to store, that have been shown to store more creatine in the muscle cell. I'll offer three of those. The first is RALA, alpha-lipoic acid. The second is the amino acid L-taurine, which acts as an insulin mimetic. And finally, fenugreek, which likely from the 4-hydroxyisoleucine, which is a amino acid which has glucose disposal properties. All of those will help store more of the creatine in the muscle cell. I do think taking it when you are training both pre and post is helpful. But further, I think the myth about having to drop creatine, around that time, all that was available was creatine monohydrate, which, yes, you'll tend to hold more water and so forth. Today, there are more soluble forms of creatine on the market that don't, quote-unquote, show water on you as much.
Right.
And I just don't buy the, it stops, or impairs fat.
Well, and here's why I didn't buy it. And I never stopped using creatine back in the day as a result of this, what I thought was misinformation. Because if you're carb-deprived, okay, and let's assume that creatine does cause a penchant for your muscles to prefer glucose, let's say over ketones or some other or lactic acid or some other source of potential muscular energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not feeding your body any carbohydrate sources, then what has to happen if the substrate preferred is glucose, what has to happen is the body has to undergo a greater degree of gluconeogenesis to produce that required glucose. It's got to do it for the brain anyway to a great degree, although the brain will run on ketones, as we know. But the point being, so if you're not eating any carbs, where is it going to get this glucose from? It's going to have to use fats and amino acids to produce glucose.
Right, and that's a well-known process that takes place in the liver. Bodybuilders have been doing it for a long, long time. So, the short answer is I don't necessarily think you need to drop creatine just because you're not eating carbs. There are other nutraceuticals you can use along with it. It's still going to be a benefit.
Yeah, okay. All right, so in your summary, don't come off the creatine just because you're in a cut mode.
Right. And, okay. You know, if anything, your body is going to benefit by having more stored creatine phosphate and ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And that's going to come from the creatine, unless you're eating tons of red meat or herring, which is another naturally occurring source of creatine.
Interestingly enough, do you know what the number one source of creatine animal, what the number one source animal protein contains the highest degree of creatine?
I thought it was herring, but I recall hearing something new about it.
Pork.
Is it really?
You know what number two is?
No.
Tuna. And that was from the original research done on creatine that I read over a decade ago, when they looked at the amount of creatine found in different types of animal muscle flesh.
Right.
Pork has the highest degree of creatine per ounce of protein, followed by tuna. So, you know.
Well, that would help explain the old fish and water cutting diet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay, what were some of the other questions that you received as a result of the last show?
Got a quick one here from Joseph Hudson. He's asking about whether drinking distilled water only, is it healthy? I have to tell you, I've got mixed feelings on this one. Evolution-wise, it makes sense to me that man had to develop at least some of these filtering mechanisms, given his water came from lakes, streams, and other places, right? However, it's also true that we've sullied the land, and we poison our water supply. I've seen little evidence, though, that the standards for that bottled distilled water are consistent across the board. So having said all of that, our bodies exist in a water medium. It's over 70% water, and muscle is mostly water. So the bottom line is, I think, on distilled water is, you know, if you can afford it, drink it. But if not, even better, I recommend getting a good quality water filter at home for your tap water, because just as one example, the fluoride that's present in the water supply today will deplete the body of many essential minerals, including magnesium.
Yeah, and interfere with thyroid function. It's just terrible. I want to weigh in on this. I have drank exclusively distilled water for over a decade now. And I have to tell you, in retrospect, I don't know that it was the smartest thing for me to do. And I'll tell you why. Now that I understand, I have come to understand in the past probably 5 or 6 months that there are a lot of diseases that are misdiagnosed that are really related to electrolyte imbalances in the body. With that being said, distilled water is really one of the purest forms of water from the standpoint that any of the particulate matter has been removed through the distillation process. So there is no minerals in distilled water. Now, there are some schools of thought out there that say that this actually will attract minerals to water, which is natural. And when it's in your body, it attracts the minerals in your body to the water, and then you urinate them out. And this has been validated by Dr. Andro for me in recent discussions that we've had. I am convinced now that distilled water is a great water to start with, but I am of the mind that you must add electrolytes back into it in a balanced ratio. I personally am using the new Superior Trace Minerals from U.S. Wellness because we have a special offer from them. 20% off the first bottle, plus a second bottle free when you use the coupon code SUPER. But I am putting droplets of trace minerals back into my distilled water. So I'm starting with an unadulterated form of water and then returning its electrolyte and mineral balances back to that of what I would say is prehistoric. And that because I really do think that you have to be cautious. If you're drinking a lot of distilled water and you're not getting enough minerals in your diet to begin with, the body is going to start giving up those minerals to the distilled water.
Agree.
So, but yeah, I like, and I also like the drier taste of distilled water for whatever that means to anybody as well. So anyway. Okay. So where do we go from here, Rob? We have a couple minutes before the next break.
Well, Gordon Woodward asked a 2-part question. So, why don't we take one part before the break and the second after it?
He asked
the question, seeing he has knee pain in warm-up squats, but it goes away during heavier sets. Is this normal? And secondly, he's asking, besides ice, what's good for post-workout inflammation? I'll take the pain in the knees first.
Right.
Knee pain itself isn't normal, so that's something you should, you know, look into if you're just starting to exercise. But having said that, you know, feeling better as you flush more blood into a joint is normal. Leg extensions will pump a lot of blood into that area, into the knees. I'm on board with Wade on that. It was the exact same answer I was going to give that came up on one of our roundtable shows.
Right.
My favorite here, though, are Hindu or bodyweight squats, 2 sets of 15 to 20. Why? Because they more accurately track the axial loading or the vertical loading of the squat They will likewise lead to greater flexibility, the same blood being flushed into the knees, but more importantly, the hip flexors and other places. And body weight squats will also teach your abs and other muscle groups to contract simultaneously as they need to in the squat. We have to remember there's a huge degree of muscle tissue that needs to coordinate and fire simultaneously to execute a successful squat. And I'll address the inflammation with a really interesting, two interesting solutions.
Okay.
When we get
okay.
back from break.
All right, let's do that. We'll take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll cover part two of this question. You're listening to Superhuman Radio this hour. We're talking with Rob Regish. He is the author of the ever-changing, always evolving Blueprint Training Guide, which is the single best training guide you can buy because it incorporates all of what works from everybody else's approaches, stacks it together, shows you how to use these different approaches to play off of each other for greater muscle gains, greater fat loss. You can get it by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint for Big Muscle Building banner ad today. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw. The delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHREMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHREMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Either with those who love freedom Are you with those who
welcome
hate
back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint, answering listeners' questions on the Ask the Expert segment. Okay, part two deals with inflammation.
Yeah,
obviously, it's assumed that there's inflammation going on here, right?
Yeah, and it's important to make the distinction. You know, there's acute inflammation, which happens as a result of exercise. That's normal. And then there's chronic inflammation, which is not normal and quite detrimental. You know, a certain amount of inflammation needs to happen, frankly, for the muscle to remold and rebuild. But having said that, Gordon's question, part two, was, besides ice, what's good for post-workout inflammation? So I'm going to offer two solutions here, the first of which the listeners can put into practice today, something quick that everybody can do that can benefit them around their workouts. Let's say you're listening to the show and you're on your way home, pull into the grocery store parking lot, go inside and pick up some cherry juice. You know, I know you're familiar with this, Carl. I've heard shows done on tart cherry extract
right.
and its effects on anti-inflammatory actions in the body. There is a considerable amount of research now showing that cherry juice, and in particular the tart cherry juice, is significantly more effective than even aspirin in
right.
reducing pain caused by inflammation, arthritis, gout, and, in fact, exercise. The American College of Sports Medicine in 2009 did a study showing the efficacy of tart cherry juice in reducing muscle pain after strenuous exercise. I believe that was the one where they had the runners downhill, which, as you know, results in a lot of eccentric damage to the muscle. So that's your first tip. Two glasses of that, 2 8-ounce glasses a day, especially before and after the workout, does quite a bit of good in terms of keeping the inflammation down. The other one is straight from Rob's Junior Explorer home chemistry set, and that involves transdermal curcumin. Curcumin, as you know, Carl, is used for a number of things, and there's a lot of research suggesting that it's helpful to muscle growth, but in particular, inflammation. Curcumin's molecular weight is about 368, which means this. It is small enough to traverse the striatum corneum of the skin, get to the site of injury, and ultimately into general circulation. It dissolves readily in alcohol. It is helpful, though, to have a carrying agent. So here, then, would be the recipe, and this is what I personally do if I've got a little injury to treat. In a 16-ounce measuring cup, I add about 8 ounces of 91% isopropyl alcohol. I look for the 99%, but 91 is a lot easier to find.
Just out of curiosity, not to derail you, but could you use ethyl instead of isopropyl?
Yeah, it'll dissolve readily in any type
okay.
of alcohol.
I personally would prefer ethyl. You know, if you can get some Everclear, it's a better choice to have the body absorb that than isopropyl.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Good.
Agree. Added to that would be the, you know, you put in your 6 grams or so of curcumin extract, 2 ounces of D-limonene, which is a constituent of citrus peel, has an orange-like scent. It's actually a penetration enhancer.
A very powerful penetration enhancer. When added to other transdermal vehicles, it works fantastic.
Yeah, and I personally use 1 ounce of odorless DMSO that I picked up from Pat Arnold way back when. I don't know if it's still available, but even if you're using the traditional DMSO, the D-limonene, as you know, it's got that nice, strong orange scent. It seems to cover up any of the DMSO odor. What I do is I stir that vigorously into a solution, and it dissolves pretty well. I then place a funnel over the top of a washed-out 12-ounce, let's say, shampoo bottle, and then I put a coffee filter into that funnel. I then take the solution and pour it into the funnel slowly over the coffee filter. You're likely going to need at least a couple of filters as it, you know, the impurities and so forth, some of the bulk raw material gets caught up in there. But what you wind up with is a very thin alcohol-based solution that can be applied pre- and post-exercise. A 2-ounce squirt into the palm of your hand, rubbed into the injury, let's say it's a knee, yields almost a gram's worth of curcumin, and it'll go right to the site of injury. So the issue there being curcumin's bioavailability when it is consumed by itself in capsules is limited. You know, if you're going to take it orally, definitely take it with some fats because that radically improves the absorption.
No, I agree. Topically is the way to go. In fact, I experimented with a – it's funny you talk about this because I experimented with a similar concoction back in 2003, 2004. But instead of using curcumin, I used ginger extract. I used the ethyl alcohol to liberate the oils from the ginger extract. And then, as you point out here, poured it through a coffee filter to get the cellulose out of it. And
right.
then let that dry overnight, let it evaporate. And what you're left behind with is a light brown powder that then I would mix into lecithin mixed with distilled water, which if you buy lecithin at your your health food store, lecithin granules, and mix it with an amount of distilled water, let it sit for about an hour and stir it until it ends up as a gel. Then mix the rendered curcumin flavonoids and oils or ginger extract flavonoids and oils into that and rub that onto the skin. That will deliver probably close between 30 and 50% directly into the body. If for some reason you don't want to use a hydroalcoholic base and DMSO, this is another alternative. That's all I'm showing you here. But again, any of these agents, you're spot on, Rob. This is I used to feel the pain go away within minutes of putting it on.
It really is. It's a tremendous little trick. And I was doing this years ago, and I know it's not new, but there's the science is starting to catch up now, because there was a study done in 2010 in Taiwan using the same, you know, D-limonene and curcumin mix, and you know, it basically validated everything that we're just saying.
Yeah, no, this is a great way to alleviate localized pain and get the stuff to where it needs to be instead of throughout the rest of the body. Okay, so there's an answer to part two of the question about inflammation. Where do we go from here, Rob?
Scott Tavener had a couple questions for me. One was about getting back into training after a really long layoff. He's saying he's very tight in the quads, groin, and hips. He leans forward too much, and the feet turn out when he squats.
Well, but leaning forward too much quite often has more to do with kinesiology than tightness. It depends on how tall he is and how long he is in the upper part of his leg, too. Those of us who are tall, we do have to lean forward a little bit to change the center of gravity to keep the weight over our feet, because our butts go out a lot farther backwards than short guys do.
Completely agree. You know, this is almost hearsay, but the squat is not for everybody. You know, individuals that are very tall, have long femur bones, and don't have their, you know, let's say optimal leverage points, should look into alternatives to the squat. And, you know, there are many, and it's not necessarily the leg press. I've discussed here the
Russian step up. But Rob, I've seen power lifters. There's a guy who I can't think of his name right now. He's from Chicago. He's an ex-police officer. He's a world-class power lifter, an African-American guy. And yep. I've seen him squat at national, major national meets. And his name will probably come to me in a second. But he's a tall guy. And he has a dramatic forward lean that when you see him squat, not only are you amazed that the guy is squatting 1,000 pounds, but the fact that he leans so far forward, it makes you think, my God, this guy's got to have a bulletproof lower back.
Yeah. You know, a certain amount of lean is necessary in the squat. Let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't matter where you put the bar. A certain amount is necessary. But I do trust in the fact that Scott probably knows he might be leaning a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, for that, let me just say the following. He's also pointing out that his feet tend to turn out now if he squats. Whenever you see that, whenever you see an individual's feet, you know, you're kind of pigeon-toed, it's usually indicative of a weak posterior chain, in particular the hamstrings. Now, nobody take this personally, but it's a great illustration of my point. If you take a look at an obese person, whether they're standing or walking, but in particular when they're standing, they will tend to do so pigeon-toed. That's an indicator of a weak posterior chain.
When you say pigeon-toed, you mean toes pointed in, right?
I'm sorry, toes pointed out.
So splayed. Okay.
Splayed.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So here, there's probably some work to do in terms of strengthening the hamstrings, glutes, and lower back.
Right.
And for that, I'll offer this solution. You know, for every squat that you're doing, for every quad-dominant movement that you're doing, perform a hip-dominant lift, such as the Romanian deadlift, rep for rep and set for set. That'll improve the balance of those muscle groups. The other thing I would offer is this. Learning to squat or relearning to squat is best done, in my opinion, on a box. Why? It auto-regulates the depth that you go to. You'll know that you've gone down far enough every time. Secondly, if you sit back and down on the box, it will stretch the hamstrings and work that posterior chain and build a tremendous amount of strength out of the hole, which is where most guys get stuck.
Yes, that's a really, really good point.
So, you know, give those two things a whirl. I'm sure those will hopefully help. And
I want to ask you a question now to kind of stay on this subject for a second. What
yeah.
about people who I see people who squat? They're clearly squatting more than they should be. Their knees start to cave in. They have a different situation.
Yeah.
The knees start to come in. The no matter where the feet are, the knees start to come in towards the center of the body. They almost want to touch. What is that from?
That's from weak abductors or adductors. But what I typically, and that happens to me, that has happened. It puts a terrible shearing force on the knee. So if you see it happening with yourself, the best way to remedy this, and the way I remedied it for me, was to put, took a doubled up mini band and, put it around my knees. And while I was box squatting with a wider stance, the objective is to push outwards on those bands.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that will become an automatic reflex, and what you'll find is that your knees will not cave in any longer. That's a really bad problem, and it needs to be corrected. And you're absolutely right. It's the more common of the two problems.
And it's dangerous. It really, if you're finding your knees want to collapse in, you need to work on the auxiliary movements to strengthen the supporting musculature before you start loading that bar in the squat. You think that's a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. It's don't play with fire. Knee injuries they're slow to heal, and God forbid, you know, they're complex. It just takes a long. It's almost as bad as a rotator cuff, if not worse.
All right, we have to take a commercial break. When we come back, what are we going to hit? What are the key topics we need to cover before the end of the show, Rob?
Scott had another question about the best way to get back in shape after a long layoff. I can address that. And then Amir followed up with a final question about autophagy, or in other words, protein fasting.
Yes, yes. You know, that's a good point because someone has been asking me about protein fasting as well. All right, so you're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today to learn more about the single best training guide out there. You don't have to waste any money on any of the other books out there because Rob Regish does all the heavy lifting, isolating the important parts, disregarding the rest, and bringing you a consolidated distillation of all the other training regimens out there in one book. We'll be right back.
Amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product, bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for?
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Rob Regish, later in the show, Dr. Michael Smith. What a great show this is today. You can't talk about longevity and anti-aging without talking about physical culture and exercise, folks. For those people out there who think they can just take a pill and stay healthy and youthful, you're missing the boat in a big way. It all starts with using your body. And your body was designed to output great degrees of energy. It thrives. Look, when you exercise rigorously and intensely, mitochondrial biogenesis upregulates. Telomeres start to lengthen again. What does that tell you? That tells you that the body was designed to do this work. And those of you out there who are afraid to exercise, who may be tuning into this show for the first time, you better get over your fear if you want to be healthy and live long.
It's free too, Carl.
Yes, it's free. No, I want to find the way to charge a penny a rep. All those reps that are going out there, I just want to license the penny the rep approach. Send your checks to Superhuman Radio. There you go. People don't feel like they're getting something if they're not paying for it, so we'll make them feel like they're getting something. There you go. Anyway, okay, onward and upward. Let's go.
Okay, Scott had a follow-up question about when coming back from a really long layoff, what's the best way to get back in shape if you have 10 to 15 kilograms of fat to lose too? The basic question here is, should the person focus on fat loss first or just get back into the swing of things with the muscle building and the fat loss as well? I am a fan of the latter approach. I don't think, you know, it's tempting and logical to say to oneself, I'm going to drop this fat first. But in the real world, most of the time, that doesn't happen. The person is going to perform a bunch of cardio, and for whatever reason, the fat isn't going to come off, or it won't come off as fast as they want. If it does come off, it's usually at the expense of muscle, and muscle is the engine that burns body fat. So by getting back into your training with the weights and building or rebuilding the muscle tissue, it'll be easier to burn fat 24/7 versus the short-term fat-burning effect that lots of cardio is going to impart. So after, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks goes by, any remaining body fat at that point will be easier to diet off if so inclined. If the person oxidizes fats well, they can go ketogenic. But most important, during that 6 to 8 week break-in period, again, when you're coming back from a layoff, is dialing in your carb threshold and the timing of when you take in carbs.
Yes.
Because once you know how many carbs a day you can tolerate and where to best position them, it's going to result in steadier insulin levels, which should result in the body fat coming off. So my recommendation then, again, is bottom line, get back into the weights, do the cardio too, but when you do that, make sure that you really are doing everything you can to learn about how many carbs your body tolerates, both on training days and off days, and when to consume them. And I would suggest that the optimal time to consume them is in and around the workout if you're going to have them.
You know, it's amazing. I have to tell you, I've been preaching about this for so long, and that you don't have to make a decision to build muscle or burn fat. They don't have to be done independently. And I'm seeing it with Elisa. In 7 weeks, Elisa, and during the 7 weeks, Elisa would get on the scale and she'd complain. The scale's not moving very fast. I've only lost a half a pound. But when we go and have her body fat done, and when we go and have her body weight measurement done by a professional, which has been done 3 times now, in 7 weeks, she's lost 7% body fat, gained 7 pounds of muscle at the same time. So the frustration that people are getting when they stand on the scale and go, oh my God, I don't understand. I'm training so hard. I'm eating right. And the scale's not moving. You don't want the scale to move. Wouldn't you rather come out the other end of this being the weight you are right now, but having it be muscle and being like in the 10% body fat range? Of course you would.
Right.
Nobody wants to rip it all down and then have to start building from there. You don't want to have to diet for a year and then go, okay, now I'm going to spend the next year building muscle. No, you want to come out at the end of the year going, I repartitioned.
Right. And if you're coming back from a layoff, you're in a unique position to actually build muscle and strip body fat simultaneously. You know, that can't go on forever, but it does in those folks that have muscle memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know what? I step on the scale once a week. But it doesn't even faze me anymore, because when I look in the mirror, I can see that my body is changing. And that really, people need to start relying on the mirror more. And I'll tell you something else. The optic chiasm, where the right and left visual fields meet and share information to create the phenomenon of binocular vision, is not your friend when you're looking at your body in the mirror. What you need to do is once a week have someone put on the same pair of swim trunks or bathing suit, stand against a blank wall with no photos or anything behind you, and have someone take a front-on shot, a back shot, a side shot, and a side shot, and use those to compare from week to week and watch the magic. You will not see it in the mirror, folks. You will not see it. But when you look at the pictures, you go, oh, my God, that's so dramatic. Look at my traps popping up. Look at my triceps starting to show. You won't see it in the mirror. So
totally
take photos. Take photos.
Totally agree.
Where are we going here? We got enough time maybe to answer another one or two questions.
Okay, I've got two more. The first is from Amir Rozek again. He's saying, what's your take on autophagy to incorporate into training? Here he's referring to protein fasting. There's a lot of research on autophagy to extend lifespan and so forth, but you know, with respect to his question, autophagy is a fancy word for hard times. It's the ability for an organism to survive starvation. It must be developed and retained if a species doesn't want to go extinct. So essentially, the question becomes, if you restrict protein for X length of time, is it helpful insofar as upregulating protein synthesis, HGH response, et cetera, et cetera? The short answer to that question, in my opinion, is yes. And I'm basing that opinion on the results that my guys have had in the blueprint. We have a dedicated phase to this that's specifically designed to upregulate your body's protein synthetic machinery. Now, past attempts at this have been, in my opinion, too long. I've heard about 2 week periods of protein fasting, even a month. That results in some very real muscle tissue loss that, unfortunately, if you dig too much of a hole, you know, you're going to have a tough time digging out. What we do is we get it done in less than a week, and we do that via manipulating some dietary macros and some very intense form of exercise throughout that week to get it done in a very short period of time. You don't actually lose muscle tissue during this time. What you are doing is upregulating all of the protein synthetic machinery. So the short answer there is I believe in it. I have seen it work. But you need to be really careful about how you approach it and make sure you don't dig too deep of a hole.
Yeah. So it does work. There's no doubt. I mean, and this was first discussed. The Bulgarians used to do this, and it was first discussed by Leo Costa in Big Beyond Belief quite a long time ago. But the Bulgarians were the first ones to start out by depriving themselves of protein for a period of time to prime the body for an accelerated protein synthetic response.
Yeah, no question.
All right, where do we go from there?
Okay, so Joey Gleason also had a question. He said, I'd like to hear more about your news of dropping the carb intra-workout drink. You've hinted at nutrient timing being critical. You must have found some amazing new protocol to go from 75 grams to zero. I want to be clear about this point. I still, if carbs work for you intra-workout, and in particular I'm talking about high molecular weight modified starches, in the form of, let's say, waxy maize, which is refined into an amylopectin, which the practical effect is it moves very quickly through the gut, and then thereafter the rise in blood glucose is very slow and even. So the way I went about dropping from 75 grams in the drink down to zero was the product of two things. One, I had to come up with better solutions for my guys that were mesomorphs and endomorphs that said, listen, I don't want to do all those carbs. I can't. And secondly, as you know, Carl, I'm developing my first product. In the process of doing that, I also learned some things. Essentially, what it revolves around is we know that the carbs have historically been included to get an insulin response, which does two things. First, it pushes nutrients like amino acids into muscle cells. And secondly, it antagonizes the rise in cortisol as a result of strenuous exercise. The question becomes, are there other nutrients that can do the same? And the answer is yes. Glucogenic amino acids in particular, of which, let's say, glutamine is one. Glutamine has been shown in a number of studies where sugar, it's replaced sugar gram for gram, and it will raise insulin. So there are ways to go about it and ways to do it. It's just a matter of playing with glucogenic amino acids before loading it. In my opinion, before the workout is the optimal time. You can also drink it during the workout. I'm not saying I don't eat carbs anymore. I certainly do. I have a lot, as a matter of fact, at my my first solid food sit-down meal, which occurs about an hour after the workout. But I have been pleasantly surprised as a guy who has strong ectomorph-leaning tendencies of my ability to power through a workout, retain muscle fullness without carbohydrates. And I've credited a lot of that, frankly, to Dr. Connolly, Dr. Paul Arciero at Skidmore, and Wade Johnson for his contributions with respect to hydration, which I bumped up, and it's made a big, big difference.
Interesting. You know, and the truth is that I am a very low-carb person. I've learned my carb thresholds a long time ago. Okay, right. We have time for perhaps one more question.
Yeah, you know, I heard your Casual Friday show.
Okay.
Last Friday, and if I'm not mistaken, somebody wrote in and said, hey, listen to Rob Regish talk about waxy maize. Isn't that genetically modified food? And the listener brings up an excellent point. There are no high molecular weight modified starches selectively tailored to certain lengths, you know, to optimize your blood glucose response growing on the tree outside my window.
Right.
You need to make a decision here as to whether or not you think those things are really hurting you. You can certainly ask the manufacturer, you know, whether or not that waxy maize
came from GMO corn or not.
Exactly.
But as I pointed out during that discussion, there are certain things that when reduced to the lowest common denominator, they kind of lose the threat, if you will, of the genetically modified changes that seem to be disruptive to people's stomachs. So
yeah,
isolating a particular sugar,
right.
I have a feeling is not, you know, sugar being sugar is a problem, but I don't think that it carries any of the genetic changes from GMO, as do the proteins, because it appears that it's the proteins that are modified in GMO corn, not the sugars.
Yeah, and there's a lot of conflicting science out there. This, frankly, is one where we don't have a concrete answer yet. I would suggest, though, the following. If you need carbs in and around the workout, the benefit of a good waxy maize, amylopectin-type product probably outweighs, you know, the damage that a 75-gram, you know, ingestion of glucose or dextrose is going to do, just by virtue of the fact for the short-term way you feel. I don't know about you, but I feel nauseous and sick, lightheaded after that much dextrose. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't do it anymore. I did it back in the day,
right.
But I can't. I've tried it recently. I had hypoglycemic episodes after having high sugar loads around my workout.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
It's, you know, you've got two strategies there. One is to try the amylopectins and the high molecular weight modified starches from waxy maize. And the other is to go carb-free. And like I said, I was pleasantly surprised. Hopefully you will be too. It's just a matter of tinkering with the insulinogenic amino acids.
Okay, so let's go ahead and plug the book again. The book is called The Blueprint. You can get a copy of it by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Rob, always wonderful to have you on the show, and we'll see you not this Thursday, but next Thursday, correct, on the roundtable discussion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is that this Thursday or next Thursday?
It's next Thursday,
yeah,
but
okay.
they don't come quick enough, man.
Okay. So, well, but you'll be on again next Tuesday anyway for answering more listeners' questions. So if you have questions for Rob, where would you like them to send those questions, Rob?
I usually put up, I'll solicit questions on my Facebook page. That's probably the best place to do it. I seem to be getting a lot of good ones there. Or you can always email me at rsrmusclemass@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to take your questions there, too.
There you go. Thanks, Rob Regish.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Michael Smith on. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds, designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Phytogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
I like to move it, move it.
My next guest likes to keep it moving also. If you've never attended one of his webinars, you're missing out on an amazing opportunity. He is none other than Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good, Carl. How you been, man?
Fantastic. I told you this off the air. I have to say it. I have to say it. We attended a webinar put forth by a very, very well-known and prestigious organization recently. And it was a comedy of errors. The audio stunk. The guest speakers were late. And then they were stepping on each other. The whiteboard wasn't working. It was and Elisa looked at me and went, "Oh my God, you know, we've only ever attended Dr. Smith's webinars And they always go off so flawlessly. And Dr. Smith is answering questions. And, you know, it's like we thought that this was a simple task. Obviously, you are really an amazing orator and controller of webinars. We didn't realize that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Carl. As a matter of fact, I have one coming up next week on metabolic syndrome.
Yes, let's talk about that real quick. So those people out there who want to attend it, when is it?
It'll be next Wednesday at 7 Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to the Life Extension events page and sign up for it right there on our website.
Okay, do you have to be a member in order to attend the webinar?
No, never. Carl, you know me. I teach anybody who wants to learn.
That's right, that's right. Okay, I just wanted everybody to understand that. So go to lef.org and sign up for the next webinar.
Totally free.
Yeah, they're always fun. And Dr. Smith actually takes time to answer people's questions, by the way, which is always cool.
I've answered yours, Carl,
I know.
A couple times.
And not only that, but you always acknowledge, you always say my name, and I feel special. So,
well, you are special in your own way, Carl.
Yeah, but don't tell. My mother would agree with you, actually. But anyway, all right, so we're going to cover a variety of different topics today. The first one we may have touched on before when you and I did a show probably well over a year ago on the benefits of giving blood.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and one of the things we talked about was iron buildup, especially in men and then postmenopausal women.
Right.
So what's new about iron in the body now?
Well, we know. Well, first of all, let's back up and just remind people, iron is a metal, and metals love to be oxidized, right?
Right.
So ultimately, iron can be an oxidative stress on the body. That's why at Life Extension, we've never formulated any of our main supplements with iron because we get plenty of it from our diet. It's the one nutrient that is found in our food sources and soils just fine.
Right.
And so we've never added it to our supplements because we were always concerned about iron overload in people. And we knew it was an oxidative stress. We knew that there could be issues with liver fibrosis, cardiovascular issues, even cancer. We actually first talked about iron overload back, gosh, Carl, maybe in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
You know, we were really warning people because if you remember, it was about early 90s, mid-90s when the supplement industry was really taking off, right? And a lot of companies were starting to produce, you know, their version of a daily multivitamin. And back in the 90s, most of them had what in it? Iron.
Iron.
Yeah. And there was no need for that. And we wrote several articles, actually, warning people that not to take those multivitamins. You don't need it. Well, what we're learning now is there may be a link between iron overload and your brain health.
And I've heard this before. Actually, so go ahead. I mean, I've actually heard about this. This has been in the makings for a few years now.
It has. Well, you know, UCLA has probably one of the greatest neurological research centers in the world, and they've been looking at excess iron accumulation in brain tissue as it relates to things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's
since
maybe the late 90s, you know, early 2000s. And they finally have started, you know, some of the research they've been doing is now starting to come to fruition. They're starting to publish some of the papers on this. And it's an interesting thing. They actually believe now that, you know, take Alzheimer's disease, for instance. We know Alzheimer's, Carl, is a very complex disorder, right? And it involves those abnormal protein plaques. It involves these tangles within the nerves.
Right.
You know, no one really understands why these things happen, but we know maybe there's two big reasons now. One is Alzheimer's is probably like an insulin resistance in the brain.
Yes.
Almost like a diabetes in the brain. And
yes,
it's probably an iron overload picture in the brain. They've actually done a functional MRI in several hundred patients at UCLA. And what they found is that overwhelmingly, statistically significant, Alzheimer's patients had large amounts of stored iron in certain brain regions where Alzheimer's is known to start.
Now, isn't it interesting that men develop a lot of these neurological diseases at a much higher rate than women until women go through menopause? And I think that the actual mechanical function of bloodletting that women experience once a month has been greatly overlooked. Just replenishing. You know, I told this story once before. I had an old beat up car that leaked oil. And I used to put a quart of oil in it like every week, week and a half. And one day I went and got an oil change, and the guy emptied it, and he says, man, your oil was so clean. And I hadn't had an oil change in probably 6 or 7 months. And that's because my oil was being cleaned one quart a week.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you know, I think you're onto something there, because we also know that when, you know, in menopause, women start to catch up in cardiovascular disease rates, the incidence of heart attack, for instance. So, you know, there probably is something there. But let's also understand, too, Carl, I don't want to make it sound like we're thinking that Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are cause-effect type diseases. These are multifactorial diseases.
Yes.
And no one is arguing that fact. But as we begin to tease out, what ultimately we're doing here is we're discovering risk factors.
Right.
And that's a very important step when you're dealing with a multifactorial disease like Alzheimer's, because when you can start identifying independent risk factors, you can start modifying those things early in people's lives, especially people that have a family history of some of these disorders, and you can make a major impact down the line. I find this fascinating, because we know that iron itself, here's the interesting thing about iron. Iron is supposed to be recycled in the body. A lot of people don't realize that iron is very important to the red blood cell and carrying oxygen around. When the oxygen is left off, iron kind of goes through this recycling type process in the red blood cell. But as we get older, we know that all of our cells simply don't function, you know, at the level they did when we were younger. And the iron cycle within a red blood cell really begins to break down. Well, because the body recognizes iron as very oxidative, it stores up the iron in these cellular compartments called lysosomes.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're discovering with MRI is that the Alzheimer's brain, the patient with Alzheimer's brain, is full of these lysosomes, full of iron. So that tells you there's a breakdown in this iron cycle. So the last thing we want to be doing is giving extra iron to these people in the form of a daily multivitamin, which unfortunately is still happening in this country.
Okay, so what is the sparing mechanism of iron? Is iron supposed to be eliminated through the liver, through the kidneys, like potassium and other minerals?
No, it's not. It stays within, iron flip-flops between a bound state and an unbound state. What that means is, let's back up on that. Let's make sure everybody's clear what iron does. Iron is a catalyst, and its job is to speed chemical reactions that are essential to life, okay? And the problem is that this same catalytic function that iron has in helping many life processes can be very detrimental when it becomes excessive, when it becomes too stored. Useful iron in the human body is always bound to carrier proteins. And those carrier proteins basically bring the iron into this little microenvironment wherever you're at, and those carrier proteins then release iron into that microenvironment where it can actually run its catalytic purpose, right? Well, once that's done, the iron is supposed to be picked up by those same proteins and carried elsewhere. So it goes from this bound state to the microenvironment where it's dumped out into an unbound state, free to react. Then it's supposed to be picked up by those proteins again, back in the bound state and carried to other parts of the body. Iron follows a very, very set type cycle like that. Bound to unbound. What happens as we get older is we simply don't have those same carrier proteins. And so you're carrying iron, say, into the brain, where it does run some chemical reactions for the nerves, but then it's left in that unbound state, free to create oxidative radicals, and that's where the problem starts. And then the body tries to protect it. The body tries to take all that iron and put it in those lysosomes,
right,
and try to do whatever it can, and that's the picture we see now with the MRI in Alzheimer's patients. Their brains are full of this iron that the nerve cells are doing everything they can to keep it from reacting in a bad way.
And lysosome is basically a part of the waste management system of the body. They're
organelles. It's a repository.
Yeah, but they also are, they're almost like small refinery plants. They have enzymes that are designed to break
right.
things down, but they can't break down iron, can they?
No, they just hold on to it. So you end up getting, so not only are you now storing up a bunch of these iron-filled lysosomes, then you're also taken away from some of the normal functions of the lysosome themselves. So you have this nerve cell that's just storing up iron like crazy, and some of the other normal processes begin to break down because lysosomes have a lot of jobs.
Right.
In the human body.
And they can't do their jobs if their hands are filled holding iron that they can't get rid of.
Okay. Yeah, but that shows you how dangerous iron is. So the body's like, listen, I don't care what you have to do, lysosome, you have to hold on to this iron because that's more dangerous. But in the long run, that's starting to cause some things like synaptic decay, which we know is a part of the Alzheimer's picture.
Okay, so what can someone do aside from monitoring the iron that we take in? Is it appropriate to suggest that people give blood periodically, or are there ways to increase lysosome production and efficiency?
Well, no, I you know, that's okay. The second part of that question is the interesting part for me, I think, Carl. I think that the big benefit to Alzheimer's patients. Let's talk about the Alzheimer's patients for a second. The big benefit to them will be some sort of genetic type therapy where we can increase lysosomal production. That's I think a real interesting potential treatment of Alzheimer's disease in the future. But in the meantime, what do we do for the healthy person who's at risk? What do we do for someone who is in some of the mild cases of Alzheimer's or Parkinson's? I got to tell you, why not? I'm a big fan of giving blood.
Yes.
We've had that whole, I guess, was that really a year ago we talked about
it? Was
that?
Over a year ago. I was still in Phoenix, Arizona. It was well over a year ago. We did a show about the importance of giving blood, especially to postmenopausal women.
Listen, ultimately what it does, Carl, is it gets rid of excess iron. We know that every time you give blood, you're decreasing oxidative stress as if you just detoxed your body with potent antioxidants.
So there you go. Contact a Red Cross near you and give blood. And I say if you're a man, you should do it every other month to at least once a quarter. That's my opinion personally.
Yeah, and listen, even if you can't potentially donate blood because maybe you have a chronic infection or something like that, you can still bloodlet. It'll cost you money versus donating, but there are places that will also just bloodlet.
Call your doctor and tell him you want to be phlebotomized.
Yep, there you
phlebotomized.
Go. Now there are nutrients. Don't forget though, there are natural, chelation strategies here. Quercetin is a big one for iron. Curcumin is a big one, lipoic acid, and then even silymarin, milk thistle, is another big one for chelating iron out of your system.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about synthetic vitamin E. There's a lot of information out there about vitamin E. We're talking today with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. If you don't already get a copy of Life Extension Magazine, you're missing out because you get a free 6-month subscription by going to Superhuman Radio. Down on the bottom right-hand side, you'll see the banner ad for Life Extension Magazine. Click it and get the single best magazine you can read every month delivered right to your door. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Yeah. All the Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into ground granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-oh. You know what this is.
Welcome back.
5 seconds to put your drink down and report to the dance floor.
5 seconds to put your drink down and report to the dance floor, Michael. I'm sorry. We'll have
I better
to
hurry up.
We'll
I better
to,
hurry up.
We'll have to curtail the interview and go dance now. We're talking with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. Now we're going to talk about something that's very interesting to me, and that is vitamin E. I take vitamin E. There's been lots of information on vitamin E come out in the media in the past 6-7 years. Some that say that it has been linked to heart disease, heart failure, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Talk about vitamin E, the natural form versus the synthetic form, first of all.
Well, it's simple. The natural form of vitamin E is exactly how nature provides it. Okay, so if you were to eat, you know, a lot of your deep, dark-colored vegetables, for instance, have a lot of vitamin E in it, right? So when you eat those deep, dark-colored vegetables, you're getting a whole array of natural vitamin E's, which include 2 broad families, the tocopherols and the tocotrienols. So natural vitamin E should give you a nice, you know, array of different forms of that same vitamin. Whereas synthetic vitamin E is made up in a lab, and it's usually, because it's the easiest one to make, only one form out of that whole array of vitamin E's that nature provides, and that's the synthetic alpha tocopherol form. Now, listen, just like with the iron, Carl, we talked about, you know, life, again, we're pretty ahead of the game here.
Yes.
I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but hey, give us cahoots here. We warned people once again in about the mid to late 90s, just like we did with iron, be careful about taking vitamin E in that synthetic alpha tocopherol form. We discovered some really cool research that was first done out of Johns Hopkins. That, of course, was just kind of poo-pooed and pushed away, right, of course, because it was natural research. And what they showed early in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, that synthetic alpha tocopherol displaces or, in a sense, kind of deactivates the more potent gamma tocopherol vitamin E, which is a very powerful vitamin E that helps with cancers, heart disease, brain disorders. And when you take a supplement that's only synthetic alpha tocopherol, you're basically are turning off all the gamma in your body. And we warned people that that would raise the risks of cancer. And sure enough, the same university, Johns Hopkins, just a couple years ago, came out and published the results of a huge study, over 10,000 men, And what they found is that when you displace gamma tocopherol with the synthetic form, there's a five-fold increased risk in prostate cancer. Or if you increase gamma tocopherol and get rid of that synthetic form, you have a five-fold reduction in prostate cancer, which goes along exactly what we were warning against in the mid-90s.
And see, interestingly enough, just recently, I want to say probably within 6 months ago, I remember hearing on the mainstream media that vitamin E was not shown to be beneficial in treating prostate cancer. But that's because they were using synthetic vitamin E, which obviously the FDA approves synthetic vitamin E. So everybody feels like, well, if the FDA approves it, it's got to be good.
Well, listen, and that's the same problem we had, I think it was around 2002, 2003, where vitamin E took a big hit that it actually increased the risk of death with people with heart failure.
Yes.
Well, the problem with that is they were using synthetic vitamin D, the synthetic alpha tocopherol. They were using horrible doses, and on top of that, they decided to test it in very sick people, people who already had class 4 heart failure, which not much helps them anyway. So a very easy way to discredit a vitamin is to use the wrong dose, a bad form, in sick people.
Let's just address something real quick, too, while we're talking about vitamin E. I happen to take a full-spectrum vitamin E, which has all 4 tocopherols and all four tocotrienols in a natural source. I think it comes from a palm fruit derivative. Okay, with that being said, there is some relationship between vitamin E and CoQ10 or ubiquinol in the body, is there not?
Well, yeah, they both metabolize through the same system in the mitochondria, and they both are very important to protecting the mitochondria from oxidative stress. Is that what you mean?
Well, also, there seems to be some evidence that taking too much vitamin E, even the natural forms, can compete with or even deplete some ubiquinol derivatives in the body. So isn't it important that if you're taking vitamin E that you also take ubiquinol as well?
Yeah, because they both are using the same type of transport proteins to get into the inner membrane of the mitochondria where all that energy is made. So, yeah, you can a lot of even natural vitamin E can actually displace some of that ubiquinol CoQ10. I consider CoQ10 and a good vitamin E supplement to be foundation.
I know.
So if you've been listening to me for the past few years, it's not an issue for you. But if you're somebody who's doing a high dose multivitamin, you got a good array of natural vitamin E, you should at least be doing about 100 milligrams of a ubiquinol CoQ10. But here's let's go back to the issue here, Carl. Again, and maybe me and you right now are preaching to the choir because your listeners kind of know a lot of this stuff, I think. But remember, the average person out there is taking a general convenience store multivitamin. It's loaded with this synthetic alpha tocopherol. It probably has a bunch of iron in it. And when we do these big population studies on these people, and we notice that they have heart attacks at a greater rate, that's not surprising to us at Life Extension.
Right. Now, real quick, the indicator of synthetic is the DL, right?
Yes.
So if your vitamin E says DL alpha tocopherol, that's a synthetic vitamin E.
It's a synthetic. Now, listen, keep in mind that we're not saying the synthetic alpha tocopherol is some horrible thing that you should never take. That's not what we're saying. It is an easier one to make. It's the most common one used in a multivitamin. The thing is you don't want that to be your only source of vitamin E. For instance, I take the Life Extension 2 per day, which has a synthetic alpha tocopherol, but I also take a nice mix of tocotrienols and tocopherols in a separate vitamin E product. So I'm getting the whole gamut plus my good multivitamin.
Gotcha.
So we're not saying alpha tocopherol is bad. It just, if it's your only vitamin E that you're taking, then you could have problems.
Yeah. Okay, last question, and then we have to take a break and we'll come back with a different topic. I happen to take my full spectrum natural vitamin E with my ubiquinol. Mm-hmm. Is that a mistake, taking them both simultaneously? Should I take one nope. at a different time?
No, that's perfectly fine. You can take them at the same time.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Smith.
You're very welcome.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about how the FDA is actually how there are some crooked practices out there that are actually causing problems within the medical industry. We're talking with Dr. Michael Smith. Always a pleasure to have Dr. Smith on the show because he enlightens, and I trust him. That's why. And you should trust them, too. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I just want to remind everybody that Age Force introduced today on my show their new Pregnenolone plus DHEA patch. Slap it on for 12 hours. It delivers the precise amount of DHEA and Pregnenolone. They have a male men's version and a female woman's version of this patch because women need different levels of DHEA than men do. So check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad and get a buy one, get one free on the new DHEA plus Pregnenolone patch. Okay, Dr. Smith, we know that life extension is always doing battle and fighting for people's right to be healthy. Talk to me about the crooked practices that are destroying our healthcare system from within.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's, you know, and our founder, Bill Falloon, wrote a wonderful article on this in the latest magazine, I think the March magazine, that people can see on our website. And, you know, there's a few things that I wanted to discuss with you. Just to, again, I think our goal here, Carl, is just to make people aware of some
yes.
of the stuff going on, right?
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying that we always have an answer, although we do offer solutions on how to make our healthcare system better, and we'll talk a little bit about that coming up here. But I think one of the best things we can do is just make people aware of what's really going on. From the top down, from the top of this government all the way down to private companies. And if you just understand that, you'll see why we get so frustrated. Let me first start off by saying this. One of the corrupt practices that goes on between the FDA and companies is how pharmaceutical companies can actually pay their way to get approvals of drugs and pay their way to keep generics off the market when their patents are about to come up. And we think that the first thing this country needs is complete transparency with how the FDA is doing business, and we say that, doing business with pharmaceutical companies. Let me give you an example. There is a pharmaceutical company named Sanoff. They are a company that sells all kinds of different pharmaceutical drugs, and they have their whole pipeline is basically coming off patent here pretty soon. And they have made several very questionable donations to third parties, which, of course, down the line, are attached to the FDA. For instance, this pharmaceutical company has given $2.6 million to the Society of Hospital Medicine, over $2 million to the North American Thrombosis Forum, and Sanoff does a lot of antithrombotic drugs like Lovenox. And they also gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to certain university professors who were doing all their research. And ultimately what this ended up, in a sense, the company was able to make these types of donations in a sense that they were lobbying the FDA through these backdoor mechanisms. They were lobbying the FDA to keep competitors who wanted to create
generic
forms of Lovenox off the market. And, of course, that's exactly what's happened. The FDA has basically handed this pharmaceutical company another 3 or 4 years where they don't have to worry about cost-saving generics of their antithrombotic drugs. And it's not based on science. It was purely based off payoffs. And so this is the type, imagine if this was more known, if there was a better paper trail, let's say, between the pharmaceutical industry, some of these types of universities and organizations in medicine, and the FDA. You would see a direct link. Bill Falloon talks about this link. He goes into detail of this corrupt relationship and how ultimately we're the ones that pay for it. We can't afford to allow the FDA to continue to do business like this.
When it comes down to it. Who oversees the FDA, Michael?
Well, that's another. That's a great question. They're ultimately the President of the United States. They are ultimately their own true government agency. They do not belong in any way, shape, or form to Congress. Whether it's the your Senate, your senators, your congressmen, they have nothing to do with the FDA. The FDA is a true government agency where the head of the FDA is appointed by the president himself. And they basically can do what they want to do. That's why you see things like the new ingredient, the new dietary ingredient
right.
Regulations coming out. No one has told them how they should do that. No one has told them how they should protect small businesses in that. They just did what they wanted to do based on these types of corrupt relationships. Listen, let's be honest, Carl. Somebody's getting paid.
Yeah, and you know what? It is no coincidence that Michael Taylor has such close ties to group companies like Monsanto, for instance.
Right, right.
And these companies get a leg up on everything. I mean, you're absolutely right. And you know what? My frustration, Michael, is everybody knows this. The people know this. The government knows that we know this. How much longer can the FDA operate in this corrupt style before people go, look, we just can't afford the liability of this any longer?
Yeah, well, I don't know. And you say a lot of people know this. We're not so sure if a lot of people know this. As a matter of fact, I was presenting this to a group of doctors here in South Florida, and one of the doctors was like, well, how do you know that these companies are funding these types of organizations that the FDA has ties to? Well, in this particular case, there have been documents found from this pharmaceutical company actually laying out the drug company strategy to pay off doctors to lobby the FDA against generic drugs. It was actually in a memo.
That the company, that's how brazen they are. They put these things in writing.
Yeah, it was in writing. I mean, it was like, this is our strategy. We're going to pay off these groups because they have connections to the FDA. We're going to give this much money. That's our strategy. Our strategy is not to go out and do research and produce better drugs. Our strategy is going to be to basically pay off the FDA to protect our product line.
Unbelievable.
That's what we're dealing with today. We just believe that we need legislative transparency. We need to legislate transparency in all of the FDA's business. We really, honestly, we don't know what they're doing.
You know, I was at the Arnold Sports Festival a weekend or so ago, and I ran into a guy, and we got to talking, and he said, you know, you need to come to the National Health Alliance meetings in D.C. He goes, you know, Bill Falloon started this organization. I never heard of it before. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right.
And so this is an organization that manufacturers of supplements and people in this industry that have an interest in seeing, not seeing the pharmaceutical agenda overtake everything, really need to belong to, don't they?
Right. Yep. Let's go. Let me continue with this. I wasn't going to go down this line, but
no, please go.
I want to do this because you said something really interesting to me. You said that people know this kind of stuff. I don't think they do. Let me highlight for you some of the flawed FDA methods of operation. These are their daily modes of operation, and this is how flawed this agency is. Number one. FDA panel members. These are scientific members of the community who are known for their expertise. They sit on FDA panels and they decide ultimately whether or not a drug should be approved or not approved. Now, they don't actually have the stamp of approval, but they give kind of like a pre-approval.
Right.
To the FDA. They say, okay, as a group of experts in depression, we like the way this drug looks. You know, we give it our pre-approval. You know, stamp. Now, on its own, that sounds like a great idea, right?
Yes.
Have doctors and experts in that field do, you know, be on this panel. Well, what's interesting is, keep in mind, first of all, these panel members are part-time employees, basically, at the FDA, and they all have said they do not have the time to perform with optimal due diligence to review all of these new drugs and devices that are presented to them. Basically,
right.
The FDA just hammers them with drug after drug, device after device, and they end up making suggestions of approval without even having looked at all the research.
Right. And we've talked about the fact that the FDA does not have the brain trust to decipher whether or not the research that is being submitted to them that they have to approve is even correct or not.
And the FDA themselves, the head of the FDA, she actually admitted this in her own review of her bureaucracy. The head of the FDA admitted that even with the FDA panels, they are not able to fully look at a new drug application the way they should. That's the first problem. Number two, FDA panel members, and here's what's just, this is just truth. This is just fact. FDA panel members receive a significant portion of income from drug research in their institutions funded by the pharmaceutical companies whose products may come up for review by that same person. That's a conflict of interest. So you work for University of whatever, University of Carl, right?
Right.
You're developing a drug to help, you know, people with Alzheimer's, and regardless of how safe this drug actually is, Carl, you're also going to sit on that same FDA panel that's going to approve the drug. So you tell me that that's not a conflict of interest. So yes, they have these panel groups that sound good, yet the panel members are the ones doing the research, making money off the pharmaceutical companies.
Unbelievable. I don't understand how this goes on. I really don't.
Well, that's not even it. And then what about the FDA panel members? I mean, these members, and listen, I'm not going to say names, but some of these are my buddies.
What do you mean your buddies?
They're my friends. I know some of these guys. Listen, they make a buttload of money.
Right.
They are paid by pharmaceutical companies to make presentations. They have the big suites at the greatest hotels throughout the world at all these.
And don't forget the other thing is they gain prestige amongst their peers. They're elevated amongst their peers as well.
Absolutely. They become these experts.
Right.
When really some of the research they've done has actually failed.
Yes.
Yet they're still seen as the experts because the pharmaceutical companies prop them up. They become the experts. then guess what? The FDA says, hey, there's the expert. We need that person on our panel. Well, that person that's sitting on the panel right now was just paid by the pharmaceutical company to speak.
Yes. Yes.
You see the connection? You see
yes.
how horrible
it's so,
that connection
it's
actually
so
is?
It's so incestuous. It's disgusting.
It is. It is. So, listen, I wasn't even – you got me all wild up now here, Carl.
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to talk about those. But those – what I just told you are the three big things that drive me crazy as a doctor, that there's that kind of connection between pharmaceutical companies, these FDA panel experts, and the FDA approval process. No wonder so many drugs get approved that we have to pull off the market eventually because they're just downright dangerous.
Yeah. What in summary, real quick, what can people do to is there anything we can do? Does it even matter if we get together and do petitions? Is it ever going to change, you think?
Well, yeah. No, okay, here's how it's going to – okay, this is going to maybe surprise you, Carl. Here's how it's going to change. We're going to become less reliant on pharmaceuticals.
Yes, and that's happening already in the United States, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, we need to have a complete paradigm shift in this country and how we educate our medical doctors, naturopathic doctors.
That's not going to happen because the pharmaceutical industry funds those educations.
I agree. So the next step then
we have to educate the people, the consumers.
Yeah,
we need
you know, your radio show, Life Extension, other good companies, we need to change the way even the end consumer is thinking about health. We need to go from a reactionary type medicine to a proactive medicine.
You know what? The fact that people need to start going into their doctors for their normal checkups, and when their doctor says, your cholesterol is getting a little high, I want to put you on a statin drug, you need to say to your doctor, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, or because maybe you like your doctor and you want to work with this person, you make a deal with him. You say, well, let me do my own research about statins. Let me do my own study about – or let me talk to Life Extension doctors. You know, we have one standing by. Let me get their opinion about this level, the drug, what are some of the natural things, and then I'll put together with you, Dr. So-and-so, and we'll create a nice plan that I think fits my lifestyle better.
You know what? I got to tell you the truth. I'm a huge proponent. You know, sometimes to find the middle – you have to push as hard as you can to the right.
Yeah.
So, and I am a proponent of really people need to stop entrusting doctors any more than they entrust an attorney or a mechanic or the butcher up the street. These are just tradespeople, and you need to start understanding that quite often you know more about your particular condition than your doctor does. And people need to start saying no to their doctors. And doctors get riled up by this. I know for a fact, I had someone email me just recently who said they walked into their physician's office with a handful of research. And the doctor took it and put it down.
Yeah.
Didn't even look at it. That's insulting. Doctors need to get the message that we are not just going to take what they say blindly any longer.
And that's, I think, you know, from, again, as a patient, we need to think of ourselves more as true consumers, meaning that we can go to a different doctor if we need to. You can fire your doctor. You're the one that's in charge. And I think, but I think the real key to this, to really getting rid of this horrible system that we have, Carl, is simply to become less dependent upon it.
Yes. And the way to do that is to stay healthy. Illness is not a given. Don't believe this, that, oh, just because you're a certain age that you're going to have a heart attack or you're going to have this or that. Oh, you know what? That's a whole nother show. Okay, look, let's take a quick commercial break.
Right.
When we come back, I want to talk about olive leaf. This is something
yes.
that you like talking about.
We're talking
with Dr. Michael Smith. If you're not already getting Life Extension Magazine, you're missing out because there's a free 6-month subscription waiting for you at Superhuman Radio down on the bottom right-hand side. Click the banner ad, join the group, read the magazine, become intelligent, and don't rely on the pharmaceutical agenda or the medical orthodoxy ever again. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Michael Smith this hour. Right now the subject's going to change to olive leaf. I know a lot of us eat olives. Should we start eating the leaves now?
Well, maybe so. I don't know. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever told you this, Carl. This is one of my favorite products.
Why is that?
I don't know. Okay. There's a couple of different reasons. First, let me give you the non-scientific reason, and then I'll give you the scientific reason.
Okay.
The non-scientific reason is simply that when I first started doing, before I was really into natural medicine, I've always been a speaker, even with the pharmaceutical side. Yes, I used to belong to the dark side, and I would do a lot of speaking, and my voice was getting really bad, and somebody gave me an olive leaf extract, and I started taking that olive leaf extract, and it totally cleared up my upper respiratory allergies, the upper respiratory inflammation. My voice box got better, even stronger. My voice seemed deeper, and I was hooked. From that point on, for olive leaf extract. And now it's funny you said what you just said though, right? You said, should we just keep eating olives and add the leaf to it? Maybe we should, because we know most of the hydroxytyrosol,
right,
and the tyrosol, those are the main antioxidants we want. Guess where they're found? They're found in the leaves.
Yeah.
So we really should be eating more of leaves. Now, the scientific reasons are this. One, we know olive leaf boosts natural killer cells, which is so important, especially during the cold and flu season. You know, if you don't want to do the vaccines and stuff, you want to stay away from those conventional ways that don't even work, olive leaf, let me tell you, revs up your own natural vaccines, which are the natural killer cells. That's one big reason to do it. Number two, olive leaf extracts has been shown to be just as good as some of the antihistamine allergy medicines
really?
That we have out there. Yeah, absolutely. And then this is the latest finding. I don't know if you know this, but good research is now showing that the development of middle-age high blood pressure developing. Now, of course, we're middle ages. We could argue and stuff, but I think both of us are middle-aged, Carl, right?
Speak for yourself, Michael.
We're in that age group where we do not want to develop high blood pressure. They've shown that developing high blood pressure between like 35 and 55 can increase your risk of a heart attack significantly. This is the age we don't want to raise blood pressure. And it turns out olive leaf extract may be the thing we need. Good studies have shown that olive leaf extract can drop that top number, which is the systolic pressure, by up to 12 points, and the bottom number, which is when your heart's relaxing, by up to 5 points.
How long does it take for it to take effect if you're taking olive leaf for blood pressure management?
Yeah, well, they did. They actually studied this. It was out of the journal Antihypertension, and I think it was about a six-week study. So pretty quick.
Yeah, that's fast.
A pretty quick result, you know, for a natural medicine. And I'm going to call it a medicine because I think it is.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of olive leaf. I want people to start eating with it. I want to cook with it and then start taking your supplements. So I do it for immune health, my upper respiratory system, my voice box. And now, hey, the blood pressure benefits.
Well, and as an antimicrobial, we have a lot of people out there who have gut flora issues, and they have things like H. pylori and other bacteria that are living inside of their stomachs. Do you think that olive leaf extract would have any benefits in that area?
That's a good question. You know, if anything, it might show benefit in that it stabilizes some, maybe even some of the probiotics that we take by helping with acid balance in the gut. Maybe the probiotics will last longer, be more stable to get into the intestines. Mm-hmm. Maybe something along that lines. I'm not sure of a direct effect there. I misspoke though, Carl. The olive leaf extract and blood pressure study was out of Phytomedicine. The journal Phytomedicine.
Okay.
So, listen, I like it. It's just a wonderful, you know, maybe because I'm half Greek. I know, Smith, you're like half Greek, whatever. My mom was all Greek. My mom's maiden name was Scrogiani.
Ah.
So that explains that a little bit
there.
So that side of the family is truly the very loud Greek family, and we celebrate food. We ate a lot of olives. They cooked with a lot of the leaves, and so maybe that's part of it too, why I love this so much. But it's been something. This was the product. Olive leaf extract is what really got me interested in natural medicine.
Really? So what, for yourself, but I mean,
for myself, it worked.
Right.
Yeah. Remember, I was speaking, and it really helped. The results I had, I couldn't believe it. And so at that point, I started doing my, because you know, in conventional medicine, no one teaches us this stuff.
Well, and so you know what I find startling, especially for physicians who don't put any stock in natural remedies. Every single pharmaceutical drug finds itself in some natural form before a pharmaceutical company exploits it by synthesizing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the one that I like to always look at is rapamycin.
Yeah.
Which is a, you know, anti-rejection drug, and it's used, has so many different benefits, and it was found on the Easter Islands as a form of mold growing in the sand.
Right. So we know most medicines, unless you're totally just some crazy biochemist in some lab, most of the ideas, most of the backbones of these even chemical drugs come from some sort of chemical in nature.
I mean, obviously, when you look at magnesium's effect on angiotensin-converting enzyme, for instance, okay, we understand that angiotensin-converting enzyme, which increases with insulin production, which ironically, you know, that's, you know, people who have diabetes and type 2 diabetes issues always develop high blood pressure because the vasculature shuts down because the constant stimulation to shut down by ACE.
Right. There you go.
And so people said, well, magnesium is a natural angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor, but we can't sell magnesium for $350 a month.
So right. we need to find a molecule that does the same thing magnesium does, and that's where your ACE inhibitors all come from.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. And of course, during that time of developing ACE inhibitors, Life Extension has been talking about the benefits of a high magnesium diet to stopping prediabetes.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, on the olive leaf extract, the key thing, if you're going to look for, do you take olive leaf, by the way?
I don't, but I am going to look into it now that you talked about
it. Well, listen, I think you should. I think you can put it into your same category, or you know, when you look at your regimen, you got, I'm sure, all of your essential oils. Somewhere in there, your olive leaf extract can fall into, but it has to be standardized to about 16% the hydroxytyrosol. That's going to be the indication that you're dealing with a good olive leaf extract. 16, yeah, okay. 1-6. Yeah, okay. The one that we sell is 500 milligrams, 16% of those essential antioxidants.
So this is a perfect, I mean, it just for those people out there who are concerned about blood pressure, this would be a really good thing. Do you think that it is as effective? What was the other, was it St. John's wort? I'm trying to think which one was the natural blood pressure medication that was the all the rage 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Oh my gosh, there's been so many that I know. You know, for blood pressure, I still teach the trinity of nutrients, pomegranate, the milk peptides, which are the small little fragments of whey.
Right.
And then grapeseed extract. Those are still probably my top three. But now with these new findings, hey, maybe olive leaf can fit into it. So maybe I'll have a new nutrient to be in that top three that I call the trinity of nutrients.
You know, and just to touch on this for a second before the end of the show, blood pressure is very misunderstood, in my humble opinion. There's research out there that was done that we talked about on a show several months ago that showed that men who underwent intense resistance exercise did not suffer the quote-unquote negative effects of mildly elevated blood pressure. And the takeaway from this study was that training intensely with heavy resistance exercises, you know, heavy weightlifting, actually does something to the vasculature, kind of like it upgrades the vasculature, if you will, mm-hmm. because of this. Because, you know, people don't think about it, but when you're squatting or deadlifting heavy weight, the Valsalva effect of that could elevate your blood pressure to 600 over 300 for moments at a time. That resistance actually, over time, the body through hormesis upregulates and increases the flexibility of the vasculature, its ability to carry more blood, and so on.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, is that what's happening there is you're probably allowing for more healthy turnover of the endothelium.
Yes.
Which in the long run is how you're going to protect. But remember, you always, Carl, relate it to your audience, which you should. You're a good host. That's what you do. You got to remember who my audience is. Now, yes, I work for Life Extension, but you know, in my own practice and stuff, you got to remember who the average person I see is: overweight, diabetic, and they don't do any exercise.
Yes.
I mean, so we sometimes get we get some blinders on sometimes when we think about who we're dealing with, and we tend to kind of transpose that to a larger population. Bottom line is, take out your heavy lifters and all that kind of stuff. That's fine, what you just said. But bottom line is, high blood pressure is one of the most accurate predictors of cardiovascular disease, which is still the number one killer for Americans.
Yes, I agree.
Now we're seeing that it's that development of blood pressure in middle age that's the real kicker.
Yes.
So, yeah, maybe we need to, exercise, do your resistance trainings, but add some olive leaf extract.
Yes.
You're going to get the benefit of it.
But wouldn't it be wonderful as a physician if you could write a prescription and have the same type of compliance ability as you would for taking a pill? If you could write a prescription for a person to engage a personal trainer and a nutritionist and embark on a lifelong journey of health through physical culture and exercise, and the insurance company would pay for it as opposed to paying for all the pills.
Yeah, listen, in the long run, that solves our health care cost crisis, doesn't it, in
yes.
the long run? Because it may at first cost a little bit more money, and unfortunately that's the way insurance companies look at things, Carl. They look at that immediate the immediate profit that they're going to have that quarter, basically. And so doing something like that, they're going to lose profit initially. But in the long run, you're absolutely right, Carl. That's going to save us money. You know, this whole idea that we have a health care crisis in this country, no, we don't. We are just approaching it all completely backwards,
yes.
and it's costing us a lot of money. If we take a more proactive, preventative approach to medicine, there is no health care cost crisis.
I wrote an article about this, and I said, if your boat was taking on water and you were bailing as fast as you could and the water seemed to be rising faster than you could bail it, wouldn't the logical thing be to look for the hole and plug it? The problem that I have with the way politicians are dealing with healthcare is all they're talking about is managing the influx. Nobody is talking about how do we reduce the influx while managing
right.
what's left. No
that's
one's talking about that.
That's Carl, because that's going to take that paradigm shift, going from a reactionary type approach, that the way I was trained, to a more proactive approach.
Yeah.
You know, preventative medicine. Imagine if we prevented it just 20% of all diabetes cases each year, just 20%. You know how much money we would save? It's in the billions.
Yes.
Just with that one disease, 20% of the people. That's it. Billions
yes.
of dollars. That's
right.
the power of a proactive approach.
And this is what we need today, desperately. We need a president, and we need an administration that understands that they have to abandon the good old boy network of kowtowing and paying back financial rewards to the companies that are making this population sick, because we're going to go under.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Keep in mind, last point, the pharmaceutical companies have made the most money in the past 10 years than any other industry, yet we are the most sick
yes.
than we've ever been.
Yes, great point.
Think about that.
Great point to ponder. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
Thank you, Carl. Always appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. And also, I want to thank Rob Regish for coming on today. Please check out the Blueprint. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad. We will see you tomorrow with another great episode of Super Human Radio.